Well, we're going to talk about solving some things today, solving some of our prayer difficulties. And if you would, turn to the back of your bulletin, and we will be reading from Philippians and from 1 Thessalonians. The Philippian Christians received this, the Thessalonican Christians received the other. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let your mind dwell on those things as you're praying. And then to the church in Thessalonica. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And may the Lord add his blessing, his abundant blessing to our reading of the word and to our hearing of it. Now, for some reason, I have a suspicion that some of you here may be doing what you've been doing for the past several days, and that is you're slipping every few minutes or so, perhaps, in think about what so many people are talking about and have been talking about all over everywhere in this good old United States of America. No, not the political news for right now. No, it's the Super Bowl that finally kicks off this afternoon. And I'm not really, you know, singling you out, Jared, or singling you out, Paul. It's just that, some of the rest of you are either tired of this or will be glad when it's over and you don't have to hear any more about it. Or you may be one of the lucky ones and not even thinking about it all right now. And here comes the preacher bringing it up. Not good. Well, take heart, my friends, all of us, all of the hoopla will be over soon and we can all think about something else. Until this time of year rolls around again, of course. But here's the thing. Some people are even praying about this game. And you know what I've just said? I just said it out loud. It's actually the truth. People are praying about this football game. And I'm about to suggest to you, that's really not what prayer is about. Well, unless you happen to be a Mr. Tom Brady or perhaps a Mr. Matt Ryan. And if they're praying, their prayer could possibly be a simple but a very godly. Gracious Lord, help me to be the best I can be in every way today, and I will give you the glory no matter what. You see, that would be a very okay prayer from either one of them or from both of them for today. But for any of the rest of us, offering up a prayer that your favorite team is going to be the winner? Nope, not a prayer. And that's more than enough about the Super Bowl today. It's more than enough for this sermon for today. So, what is prayer about anyway? Well, if you've ever had any difficulty with your prayer life, why? Why would you have any difficulty with your prayer life? And of course, I could mean many different things by suggesting the idea of difficulty with your prayer life. So let's explore that thought, difficulty. When you pray, do you always receive benefit from that time of prayer? Do you always receive benefit? Well, let's see, benefit. What does the preacher mean, benefit? Well, like, do you always feel good and feel God's presence? Or do you always feel enlightened? That because of your prayer, you have new good thoughts and insights? Or do you always feel strengthened? When you come to the conclusion, you come to the particular time of prayer, do you sort of straighten up, you know, and feel like, now I can face this. Now I have good direction of where to go from here. Some strengthening thought or some feeling like that. And my reminder, do you always? Those good benefits, always? Those times of feeling God's presence, feeling enlightened, feeling strengthened? Well, I sincerely believe if you are a pretty normal person, the truthful answer is sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Well, let's face it, at least for this moment, I want us to all consider that this is the case for us normal type people. We all sometimes encounter difficulties when we pray. And I think it's fair for you to be thinking about that thought and perhaps wanting to ask out loud right here, what do you mean by difficulties, Pastor Combs? What do you mean by that? And I hope that question really has just entered your mind because it would mean that you were listening to me instead of drifting back into praying about who's going to win the Super Bowl today. So let me take a stab at identifying some of the difficulties. Well, this is this one. Sometimes when we are trying to pray, we are actually, at that time, out of fellowship with the Lord. Now, I'll identify this prayer difficulty as broken fellowship. Okay, that's what I'm going to call this, broken fellowship. And broken fellowship may be caused by, I think, as usual, it would be good for us to turn to God's Word because that's the best place to start understanding broken fellowship. Broken fellowship could be caused by, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to use some dirty words here. It could be caused by some kind of pollution or uncleanness or impurity or contamination of your life. Those kind of dirty things that can happen in your life. Well, here it is right in the Psalms. Psalm 51, a great inspired word of God to help us see how important it is for us to have a clean moral life. And I'm going to read just a few excerpts from that great Psalm of David. King David, you know, was known to be a man after God's own heart. Yet here in this Psalm, an admitted sinner, one with broken fellowship with his Heavenly Father. And he's offering up this prayer in that time of difficulty as the way to mend the brokenness. It reads this way. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. And I would suggest that you go to your Bible and read that whole prayer of David's. Read Psalm 51. It's his honest and fervent prayer coming from the jolting of awareness of his uncleanness. Jolted jarringly about his broken fellowship and realizing it was broken, coming to God in prayer to try to heal that broken fellowship. You see, his difficulty was that he recognized he was in broken fellowship with God. In this case, his life had become terribly polluted. The prophet Nathan had pulled back the curtain for him to see the contamination of his adultery with Bathsheba. Broken fellowship. Well, here's another difficulty that blocks a great prayer life. In addition to that, in addition to having broken fellowship, a hurtful, an unkind, an unchristian spirit. And here, I want to suggest to you that you go back, if you can, with a review in your mind of God's message to us last week in my sermon on proper priorities of Christianity. In particular, think about getting your spirit toward others right before you offer a right spirit toward God in worship. You remember that? I base that, remember, on the words, on the counsel of Jesus in the great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, in other words, you come to get in the spirit of worship, and there, remember that your brother or sister has something against you. You remember that there's someone out there that you have not gotten resolved anger or hurt or unkindness between the two of you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Then come and enter into worship. Then come and heal that brokenness with God. Well, shortly right after that, Jesus also said in that same Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins." And brokenness of fellowship will continue to be a difficulty in your prayer life because you have the problem of not setting proper priorities. Taking care of what's first is first. You see, until you have this clear path now to resolve broken fellowship with God, you also have to rid your heart. In other words, rid yourself of a focus in your life on selfishness or self, focus on self, and greed. Because you see, until your heart is right with God, until your heart is a righteous heart, not a self-centered heart, your life will have no power with God. You'll have great difficulty in approaching Him in prayer because your fellowship will remain broken. The Epistle James, Epistle of James, instructs us that the prayer of a righteous person, not prayer of a selfish or a greedy person, is powerful and effective. Righteousness helps and heals the difficulty that is present when you don't have fellowship with God. Well, in addition to the difficulty of broken fellowship, a second great difficulty I believe that I can identify for you is that because we feel our own difficulty, sometimes we try to imitate someone else's prayer life. Have you ever heard someone praying publicly and their prayer sounded so much like the prayer of the person leading in public prayer, that guy from last week? Or have you yourself ever fallen into a time when you felt like you just couldn't find the words or the thoughts to pray, and for that period of time you turned to a written prayer book or a devotional book, or you found yourself looking up and praying only prayers you could find in Scripture? Well, of course, I am not at all suggesting that you should never turn to a prayer of Scripture that helps you express a particular need of yours at a particular time. I just suggested that as a guide of great prayer of broken fellowship, you have Psalm 51. And so I'm not suggesting you don't go to the Scriptures. What I am saying is that coming to a time when the only way you feel that you're praying effectively is by using the prayers of others, or using the prayer of Scripture, are always praying the same prayer that you remember fondly, that your grandmother prayed, that becomes a difficulty in your prayer life. You must learn not to be a slave to someone else's method. You see, I'm not telling you something we don't all know. The truth is, we all have different needs. We all have different temperaments. You could very profitably go to the sacred Scriptures to do this, to consider the difficulties in the lives of Moses and Elijah and Isaiah and Peter and James and John and Paul. They were all different men living at different times with different temperaments and different needs. And their prayers recorded in Scripture, which are in fact great examples for all of us, while all being good, are also all different prayers from different men with different needs at those times of their prayers. We get into trouble of not really being ourselves with God when we try to pray like someone else. That's all we can do. So after the difficulties of broken fellowship and praying others' prayers rather than our own, a third difficulty that you might find is that sometimes we have a weakness problem of changing moods. I'm not speaking here of being a moody person all the time. It's just that I think it's universal truth that for all of us, circumstances cause our feelings, cause our moods, cause our frame of mind to change from time to time. Again, look to the good book. Elijah was a pretty good guy. He was good enough for God to choose him to be one of the two to meet with Jesus and Peter and James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was selected out of all those people, he and Moses, from the Old Testament, to be honored that way. But if we go back into the Old Testament and read his story in the Scripture, we find that Elijah had his good days and he had his bad days. Different moods at times. And there were some of those bad days when he gave in to it being a bad day for him, and that caused him difficulty in his talks with God, in his prayers. Likewise, we may become irregular in our prayer lives if we succumb to our moods. Paul urged Timothy to keep a steady attitude to be your best. Be your best with people. And I think I'm safe in saying that although he doesn't specifically say it here, we know Paul and his counsel very well. And I believe Paul would be urging this for Timothy, a young man, to do this also in his prayer life with God. He wrote this to his young protege, Timothy. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. That's 2 Timothy 4:2. Be prepared in season and out with great patience and careful instruction, not according to your mood at the time, but steady. So what you need to do with this is make up your mind in advance to keep your course steady. Not according to your feelings or in a time of moodiness. Well, actually, you know, your prayer life can help you out of a bad mood. or a low mood. Many, many may be the times when your life is like one of those old-fashioned wells that like used to be for many of your grandparents here, scattered around the homesteads of Boskydale. But your life, actually and realistically, having underlying resources of living water underneath, beneath a well cover, needing only the experience of prayer to prime the pump and move you, even during your struggle with a prayer, going up from an unfortunate mood all the way up to the freshwater goodness of a positive spiritual mood with God. Well, that's only three of the difficulties that we may have within our prayer life, but all three are major difficulties. You know, your fellowship with God gets somehow broken. Not praying your own prayers, but trying to pray and imitate the prayers of someone else. Even if the other person's prayers are wonderful and great. And third, dealing with or allowing yourself to be affected by times of moodiness. Well, of course, it's one thing to point out such problems, but how to deal with them? How to solve these difficulties and thus have a positive, productive, spiritual prayer life? That would be helpful, wouldn't it? Amen. So, solving some of these difficulties. And see, I'm hoping you understand and you get another important message of dealing with prayer difficulties, and that is, it is pretty impossible to identify all the difficulties or hindrances in your prayer life. Maybe I haven't even touched on what you personally would call one of your prayer problems. However, whatever your problem, whatever your problems, I can wish that these statements that I'm going to give you now may help you to have a more fruitful prayer life. First, believe in the promises of the Bible. Standing on the promise. That's a good hymn, right? Standing on the promise. Believe in the prayer promises of the Bible. The Bible has lots of promises, but it's got prayer promises. And there are many. There are many, many. But here are just a few. And as always, I want to encourage you to take out a pen and jot some of these down on the back of your bulletin so you can go back and look at them. You might want to read these and think about them a little at a time. And by the way, I want to tell you that I'm quoting these scriptures from the New Living Translation, which is a very accurate translation, but it puts the familiar words of the King James into language that sounds to us more like the language we're using every day. Oh, and I have another, by the way. That's the translation of that Bible of Honor that we presented to you today, Keith. Coach's Hall of Famer. Deacon of ours. That's the translation of that particular Bible. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Okay, the promise of Jesus, the prayer promise of Jesus of Mark, the 11th chapter, verses 22 through 24. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe that it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours." The promise of Jesus of Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 13. He said, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The promise of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open." You remember in Revelation, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The promise of Jesus in Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? The promise of Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. A promise of God through the witness of Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. A promise of God through the witness of Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. And a promise of God through the witness of the writer of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. While Jesus was here on earth, He offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. So there are many other passages concerning prayer and the promises of prayer. And I didn't even give you any from the old times, you know, the Old Testament witness to the promises of God. But these several from the New Testament should be enough to stimulate and encourage you. A way out of the difficulties of your prayer life is to find more and turn more to the promises of God concerning the blessings of prayer. And second solution lies within yourself. Think good thoughts. Think good thoughts. Again, the scripture encourages this solution to prayer difficulties. A great passage in this regard is Paul's encouragement to the Philippian church, which was the first of our texts for today. So you have this one in print right in front of you there. And again, it's not going to sound quite the same as what you're looking at because this modern translation that I'm quoting here for these various scriptures that I'm quoting right now are from the New Living Translation, the NLT. It reads slightly different than your printed text. Philippians 4, 6 through 8, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Think good thoughts. A third solution I'd offer to you to solve some of the difficulties of your prayer life is this. When you're just out there living, when you're not actively praying, or even really while you're in the midst of praying, do this. Seek to live your life within the will and the promise of God. Go after the goal of being a spiritually righteous person all the time. Aggressively pursue this as a conscious, Christ-worthy goal for all of your life. And doing so, when you do settle down for a time of prayer, any difficulty which you may have been facing will just melt away. Jesus told us, God will bless a life so lived. Matthew 5, 6. I want you to hear this in this new translation. Here it is, as though Jesus were right here in our midst, speaking in American language of today. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. You recognize that as one of the Beatitudes. Well, do you have any of these prayer difficulties that I suggested to you today, or any other difficulties in your prayer life that perhaps this message today might have brought to your mind? Well, I think any of that is quite possible for any one of us here today. But praise God, as always, He has the right answers to all of our struggles, all of our difficulties, even when we are entering into that most blessed conversation of all, our times of prayer with our loving Heavenly Father. Answers, solutions, three big ones. Get to know and believe the prayer promises of the Bible. Think good thoughts. Fix your thoughts on good stuff. Think about excellent and worthy things that are prayer, praise things. And then seek to live your life in the will and purpose of God. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. And go one more time for now, to the second of our scripture text for today, the words of Paul to the faithful Christians in Thessalonica. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. And why? Well, the ending of verse 18 wraps it up. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, I got that. All right.